to encourage us to go get the about three Saturdays that I preached lately on the bread of the three kinds of bread. I want you to get that message again. I would encourage you to listen to that message. Maybe in the midnight, you can just wake up and have some type of retreat with that message. All right, so we're talking about, I think I want to hit the last point of the victory mood, evoking the victory mood. How many of us have been blessed by that series? So I don't want to do too much recap. I just want to go straight to the part I want to, you know, pick on. So finally, the last thing I said was about how I was talking about the memory of victory, right? That you must retain the memory of victory. Was that what I said? Yeah, and that you can evoke a victory that doesn't look relevant to the current battle, because actually it is relevant and is applicable. And we're looking at how David brought out the memory of how he took out animals to face the challenge of taking out a giant. And then you wonder, it doesn't work. And the enemy will tell you that your past victories are not relevant. He's going to make light of your past victories, because he knows that if you can evoke it, you deal with him. Now, you can't evoke the memory of pain, amen, to deal with a challenge, amen. You see, because pain gives you the feeling, or you can't evoke the memory of pain, because it gives you the feeling that you're about to experience it again. Are you together with me? Does it happen to you when you are facing a challenge and you are afraid to pray because you are afraid that your prayer will not be answered? Does it ever happen to you? And sometimes there is a testimony of a particular prayer that you prayed that was not answered. And then you are scared that this one will be like that one. Am I correct? Yes. Yeah, so it does happen. You see? But also, pain has its use. And I'm going to tell you what to use pain for. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
And that's the last thing I want to share about. What do I use my pain for? Praise God. And what do I use the moments of my life where it looked like, don't forget the phrase, it looked like I didn't get victory? Are you together with me? Are we here?
Yes, sir.
You see, when we talk about victory, it doesn't mean that you won't fall. It just means that so far you are on the floor, it's an indication that the battle is still on. That you're on the floor is that what? Why is it an indication that the battle is still on? Huh? No. Why? Huh? Because you win always. So for the fact that you have not yet won, it means the battle is still on. That the battle ends with your victory. And if it's not your victory, then the story continues. That's why the Bible says there were some who died without inheriting the promise. And even though they died, the battle wasn't off, because he said that so that we can be perfected with them. Are you together with me? So the battle continued for them through us. Are you together with me? So when you see yourself on the floor, what does it mean? The battle is still on. And there's only one reason why the battle is on. Because victory is sure, because of the ordinance of God, which is that it causes you to triumph always. So when you have not triumphed, the process is still ongoing. Are you together with me?
Yes,
you see, but the enemy many times tells you that you're on the floor because you have lost. No, you're on the floor because the battle is ongoing and because you are obtaining victory. Are we together here?
Yes,
that's why the Bible says that the righteous falls 7 times. Are you together with me? Yeah. So there is nothing strange about the righteous falling. There's nothing strange about the righteous. We already know the end of the righteous. It is well with the righteous. Are you together with me? Say to the righteous, it is well with him. Praise God. Say to the righteous, it is well with him. So, you must understand that all the things I'm saying must go beyond beautiful teaching. It must be mindset, how you do life. So what do I do with my moments of fall and my moments of pain? What do I do with it? There is a particular quality in the priesthood. I've explained it before, but I'll explain it again. The Bible talks about it is important and it is necessary that the priesthood is taken from amongst men. You remember a priest?
Yes, sir.
Are we together? I think that's Hebrews chapter 10. Taken from what? Amongst men. Let's check that again today. What verse is that? What chapter is that? Five. 5:1. All right. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. All right. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant, one, and on those who are going astray, since he himself is also subject to weaknesses. Now, this is a statutory, if that word is accurate for what I want to say, it's a statutory state of the high priest. You can't be a high priest if this is not, you can't operate the priesthood if this is not in you. And that's why the angels, are you together with me, do not function as priests. Why? They can't be priests because they are of a different order from men. An angel can be our priest because a priest must be able to feel what the people that he's ministering to feel. Let's read that scripture again from the beginning. For somebody say every. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. Now, that's a very funny arrangement because he's administering divine things, holy and pure things, which is very spectacular. He's operating things that are very high. Are you together with me? And he's bringing those things to a lower realm. Are you engaging here?
Yes, sir.
Now, the tendency when you are picking something from that realm and bringing it here, you are prone to vexation. That was exactly what happened to Moses. Having that level of engagement, coming down and seeing the folly of men. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
The man broke all the commandments. Are you together with me? Now, the God that gave him that commandment saw what those people were doing. I don't know if I'm preaching here. So the priesthood, this is going to be a very interesting journey, I tell you. So the priesthood is a very tricky place. You see two experiences that are two extreme manifestations. Aaron was a priest who was not ministering things pertaining to God. He was too with the people that he overfelt for the people. And they used him to build a golden calf. And he knew that that's not God. But he was too with the people. That's one extreme. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Then we now have another one that has completely been with God for 40 days. Are you with me? One led the people to idolatry. The other one was completely disappointed in the people. Are we together here? But the high priest is taken from amongst men. You see? But even though he's ministering to men, he must know that he's ministering the things of God. And that he's ministering to men, he should be careful not to minister the things of men. Because sometimes when you're ministering to men, you can have an unholy compassion that will make you minister the things of men. But you are meant to minister the things of God to men. Are we together here?
Yes.
To be able to do this, you need something, which I will talk about later. That he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Next verse. He can have compassion. Why can he have compassion? Because he's from men. Are you together with me? So that he's from men gives him the capacity to have what?
Compassion.
To have compassion. Now you can now begin to understand one of the reasons why Jesus had to be a man. If he didn't become a man, he can't be our priest. And right now, his major role after resurrection, the major role of Jesus is his priesthood role. The major, what he's our high priest now, as I'm speaking right now. That's why we have a man right now in heaven. Are you together with me? It's called the man Christ Jesus. Now, that title is the title after resurrection, which is the new status of mankind and the hope of mankind. Are we together here?
Yes,
so right now he's not just the medium between God and man. He's not just the medium between God and man. He's the fusion of God and man. So in him now we see a man that has the fullness of God. And which is the disc, and is also a man. So he is the place where God and man meets. That's Jesus. He's the place where what? God and man meet. So right now we see man as a home for God, Jesus Christ. And that same technology or that same possibility, if it has happened with him, it has happened with you and is still happening with you. The way he houses God, you house God. Yeah. Now what you lack is the fullness but you house God like Jesus houses God. Yeah. You see, because he became the new creation of a man that can house God. That's the new creation. And then that is the order that you are after. You are after that. You are born the first order, which is the first man. But in salvation, you are now bearing the order of this new man. So in you right now, God and man meet. So for you now, God is not a feeling. And it's not an experience. And it's not something upon you. Right now, God is resident in you. Yeah. Yeah. Resident in you. Like right now. God is resident in you. Now, the fullness of that is what keeps happening day by day as you yield yourself. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
now, that will be manifest. It will manifest in your soul, in your mind, you know. Then later, either in this world or in the world to come, it will be manifest, definitely in the world to come. But possibly it can happen in this world where it will be manifest in your body. I mean your physical body. But right now it is manifest in your spirit. And it is being manifest in your soul. Which your emotions, your will and all of that is being made manifest. Are we together here? So we have a priest in heaven right now. And his major work is to provide prayers. The major function of the priesthood is to pray. Yeah. Is to pray. Priests pray. They can talk to God. And then they can bring substances from God and bring to us. Are you together with me? And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's consistently praying for you. And that's why many times you have not been experiencing what you deserve. It's because there's a perfect prayer warrior. I'm telling you the truth. Friends, if you didn't have a prayer warrior, you won't be where you are. Practically, there's a prayer warrior praying for you. You get my point now? Now, he's not just praying for you with his words. He's praying for you with his life. Now, this particular priest does not offer sacrifices and gifts. He is the sacrifice and the gift. So he keeps offering himself. And the beauty of Jesus is so perfect in beauty that the Father cannot resist him. He's in an irresistible form. And the Father was not joking when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You see, that statement was not just a statement. It was the order he has entered, the perfection of his beauty. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
That's why your priesthood, the strength of your priesthood is dependent on the beauty that you carry, even you as a person. That the more Jesus you are like, the more powerful your priesthood role will be. The more powerful. The more respect you will have in his presence. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
so the second thing about this priesthood is that this particular priesthood that the Bible was talking about, which is like a shadow of the original priesthood, is that it is subject to what? To weaknesses. Yeah. All right, let's read. So because of this, he is required, as for the people, also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Moses was. So this priest will also offer sacrifices for himself. Are we together here?
Yes,
offer sacrifices for himself. Meaning that he has an idea that his priesthood does not mean that he's superior to the people. And that he's with the people. He was just chosen. Are we together here? Now, this is an important knowledge in functioning as a priest. Let me give us another scripture for better, for clarity. Are you bored already? Now let me finish reading this place so you can understand the context of this. So it says that, and no man take this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, so he's trying to say there is a similarity between this Old Testament priesthood and this new one. Are we together here? So also Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but it was he who said to him, you get what I was talking about? You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Now go back there. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. That is the quality of his own priesthood. So when they ask, what is the quality of Jesus' priesthood? Begotten of the Father. That is the class of priesthood he engages. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So also, Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest. So it means that Christ did not call himself a high priest. He walked with God to the point where he got a rank and God made him a priest. And God said, this one is the begotten of the Father.
Wow.
He stepped. So it means Christ stepped into priesthood.
Yes, sir.
You are my son. What have I done? Today. So it means that God was saying, there was a moment that he entered that place.
Yeah.
That there was a time he was not there.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
But as he walked with God, he got there. So you can see how progressive your Christianity is. That there are some things you cannot handle if you don't mature to some level.
Yes, sir.
Are we together here?
Yeah.
Let's read. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he has offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. So you can see that he also was supplying sacrifice for himself and was heard. Because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet God did not spare him. Yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. The word suffering is to choose God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the meaning of suffering. Suffering means choose God when you could have chosen yourself.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And having been perfected, so there was a time he was not perfect. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
having been perfected, he became the author. So he actually, that author and salvation, he became it. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who what?
Obey
him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So you can see that Jesus to be Jesus was not child's play. Because sometimes we just say, he's God, he came as God. No, he came as God and came as man. That is why he can operate priesthood. If he didn't come as man, we only have the idea that he came as God. A lot of us have not really understood that he came as man. And he had to walk his walk. You get the point now? Jesus could have disobeyed God. Jesus could have walked away. Jesus prayed in that he feared. Jesus, I shared the one with you where he was looking for prayer partner. It's just 1 hour now, but I beg. Like fear. And Bible says he was heard. God heard him. Because this guy, if he And he said he was praying. He was praying vehemently. Then he was perfected. So you can see that there is a walk in spirituality.
Yes, sir.
Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
Somebody say there is walk.
There is walk.
Now, this walk is so high that you can't do it without grace.
Yes.
But never imagine that grace is absence of walk. Grace is used for walk. Grace is used for work. Grace is not the absence of work. It's the tool for work.
Yes,
are my friends here?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. And don't forget that, like, in the days of his flesh. But the beauty of this is that this is what qualified him to be a priest. Let's. Do you get this point here?
Yes, sir.
Just stay there. Let's check. So we have established that a high priest is taken from men, right? And he's taken from men for men, but he's to minister things that pertain to God, and he has capacity to have compassion, right?
Yes, sir.
He has capacity to have compassion because he's a man. And why can he have compassion? Because since he's subject to weaknesses. Now, let me practicalize. Let me tell you the practical meaning of subject to weakness. Subject to weakness means he can be tempted. Now, can you tell me the meaning of somebody can be tempted? The implication that somebody can be tempted. Somebody can fall. So if you can't fall, you can't be what? Tempted. So if you can fall, if you can be tempted, it means that you can fall. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
And those who fall are those who could have fallen.
Hallelujah.
You can be tempted, you can fall. But anybody that fell is because the person can fall.
Yes,
if you can't fall, you won't fall. So there's no much gap between he that has fallen and he that has not.
Yeah.
So the priesthood understands that he that fall and me. So there's a way the accurate priesthood sees a fall. Let's check Hebrews chapter 4. Start from 14. Seeing then that we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot. Now wait. Let's just take it gently. It's Bible study. Wait. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Now let's assume the other part of this scripture is not there. From the chapter 5 we read. Let me ask you, answer from chapter 5. How come he can sympathize with our weaknesses? Because he, in the days of his flesh. Am I preaching here?
Yes, sir.
So, you see, when we say Jesus can sympathize, it's not a decision. is a practical feeling. It's not like a decision that a superior person is making. It's that a practical feeling of being where you are. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
So it is practical. It's not just a decision that I feel for you. No. It participates. It has participation. It has memory of your flesh. The memory of your flesh, are you with me?
Yes,
is what is using to be a high priest. If he loses that memory, he can't operate priesthood. Because a priest must be taken from amongst men. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
and a priest must have compassion on those who are ignorant and those who are going astray. And the reason for that is because he's a man. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
that is not a decision that he makes to have compassion. It is a place he's also living in. So there is no feeling you would ever experience that Jesus is not that he understands, he's there. You will never have a feeling that Jesus has not gone through. It will not happen. It will never happen. Now, you must accommodate this in your theology. If you don't accommodate this in your theology, you can't hear him. Because you wouldn't remain space in your brain that he can speak in that pattern. You see, because a lot of us, all our perceived, what we think God will ever say to us, we only think he would always talk as God.
Yes.
But this God can talk as man. Let me tell you something that I don't know if you know. One of the people who respect you the most, some of you don't know you are respected, but let me tell you something. One of the people who respect you the most are the angels. The angels have great regard for men. They can't understand how you are doing it. We really respect them, but you don't know how much they respect you. They don't expect that you can respond to God in the frailty of your natural experience. They are shocked, and that's why they respect you so much. That how are you able to believe when you can't even see? Yeah, they respect us so much. Like, how are you able to? We are so respected. I know of two reasons why they respect us. The first one is this. The second reason I know, there might be more, but the ones I know. The second reason why the angels respect us is that they see the heart of God, and they see the love and the honor and the way God chases after us. And they're like, what is about these guys? I'm telling you the truth. This is very practical statement I am making. And that's why the angels are not providing priesthood for us. Am I preaching here?
Yes,
I like the way the writer of Hebrews says it. He says it with so much audacity. He says, for we do not have a high priest. Like, it's not possible. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. So it's not just understand our weakness. Like sympathize with our weakness. It can sympathize with your frailty. In this same body, when they put God in human body, which is Jesus, he said, my father, why have you forsaken me? So you think that God does not understand, does not feel it when you think that God is no more with you. He feels it because he has felt it. The Bible spoke about at the time where depression and sorrow gripped him after the day of the night of the communion. The man was gripped with sorrow and depression. Listen, they said there was a day Jesus prayed that it was as if blood was coming out of his skin like sweat. Possibly he prayed that some of his veins were bursting. There is nothing you would ever go through that he has not been in it. Can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
So you cannot understand that when they say God is close to you, it's, when they say close to you, it's not just that he's near you, it's that he shares your life.
Yeah.
That's what it means, that he has lived your life. So this is your whole experience. He has lived it before you started living it. So there is no dot of expression or feeling you can ever have that he has not shared with you. He has had fellowship with you before you were born. He has fellowship with all the experiences you would ever have. And in fellowship with each one of us particularly. He has lived us, everybody. But sometimes we only understand his godness or his God nature. And then we take our eyes from his manliness. And being in agony, this God has been in agony. Jesus has been in agony. He prayed more earnestly than he sweat. Became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus' sweat was heavy. Boom! Boom! Because of great agony. His heart must have... If you check his blood pressure this day... I'm telling you. If you check his blood pressure this day, he's 190 over something. I tell you. That's Jesus. And the reason for this is that he can't be preached to us if he doesn't live as us. So sometimes your pain qualifies you for priesthood. You should use your pain for priesthood. Let me go further. But was in all points. Somebody say all. So it means that there will not be any point of temptation that you would be right to say Jesus does not understand. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. There will be not a point in all the possible temptations that are existing and have ever existed. There will not be a point or a dot that you will be just to say, Jesus, you don't understand.
Yeah.
You might not understand how he understands, but you will not be justified. Because the Bible says there's no point. So Jesus has lived as everybody.
Yes, sir.
He has shared everyone's life and everyone's experience. And And that is his, and that is what gave him ministry. Yeah. That has qualified him to minister to you. But he was in all points tempted as we are. All point tempted. Yet what? Without sin. But don't forget. Temptation. If it is a temptation, you can fall. So Jesus could have fallen. He could have fallen. Not to fall is very great, very amazing, very good. And we must strive not to fall. But he that can be tempted is not superior to him that fell. Because that possibility abides in him. So you can now understand where he's taking us to. And why he could say that if you look at a woman lustfully, you have sinned. You have committed the sin. I don't know if you get the point. That the presence of temptation is a sign that you haven't come into perfection and fullness. I like this priesthood. This priesthood is a trustworthy priesthood. And not just that, this priesthood is a personal priesthood. You can relate with Jesus personally.
Yes, sir.
And you can trust his opinion.
Yes.
You can completely trust his opinion. If Jesus says it's okay, it's truly okay.
Yes, sir.
If Jesus says it's going to be all right, it's truly going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
You see, in fact, Jesus is more accurate than me, because I have not been tempted in all points. I have my temptation, and there are some temptations that I can't have. Yeah, I'm not inclined to them. Yeah, but for Jesus, all points as we are. All points. So, we can talk to him.
Yes.
We can talk to him.
Wow.
He's not somebody you should hide from.
Yes.
He's not somebody you should hide from.
Yes.
It's somebody that you should let him, you should open up to.
Yes.
If you want to run away from God and say, Father, let this cup pass over me, he will tell you, he too, I wanted to run away from God. If your parents are troubling you, he understands what that means. If a lady is harassing you, they have put cream on his body before and wiped his hair with his leg with her hair publicly. Wicked women. Sometimes we are afraid to talk about the humanity of Jesus.
Yes.
And that is where you link. That is the link.
Yes.
If you don't understand his humanity, there will be no bowl to pour your troubles in.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. You see, because a lot of us, we only see Jesus or God as somebody demanding from us. We don't see him as somebody participating with us. And so we are in a place where we want to impress a man who has laid a glorious demand with us, on us, not knowing that there is a man who is on a journey with us. And that is where grace is to fulfill any type of demand. If it's not, if you don't know how close he is to you, you can't go near to him. Was this particular day one of the greatest days of my life, and it happened to me recently. There was a case on my table, and what I want to share now, words cannot describe it, so I don't know if you would understand or not, because I'm unable to describe it. There was a case on my table that appeared to be an impossible case. And it's been like that for years, of somebody. I don't know if I've shared it before. I think I have. I don't know. But it's recently. And I woke up one particular morning, and immediately I woke up, had not sat up, as far as I can remember now, I have not sat up like straight completely on my bed, on my mattress, and the Lord spoke to me, and he brought that person to my face, and he asked me one question. And that question has completely changed my life. And that question is still changing my life. The feeling that question brought to me, the closest description that I can give that feeling, is sometimes I see in documentaries where they are showing a sea, and something like a stone or an object enters into a sea, and it goes deep down and enters. And sometimes the camera shows it to the bottom, and then you can feel a line, something like that. That question entered into my soul and went to the very core and landed at the depth of my soul and started an eruption in my soul that is still going on now. And God asked me only one question. And God said, can you be his father? And he was asking me to be his father on his behalf. God was asking me to be that person's father on his own behalf. And immediately God made that statement, my whole life changed. My whole perception of ministry and everything changed, and it's still changing till now. I have never remained the same from that day. And then it was that day I began to understand the nearness of God and his level of ownership over our lives. Like, I found out that every life is God's project. Because sometimes we have an assumption that our life is a gift to God. And then we behave as if we are the gift. And we're trying to package ourselves and give him a beautiful gift, not knowing that he is the gift. And your life is his project. I'm telling you the truth. And God asked me, can you be his father? I don't want to go into that because there's a whole lot to say on that regard. A whole lot. I won't stop talking till forever. I won't stop talking till forever. If I start digging that thing, a lot of us, even this church might close down. Because everything we are doing is nonsense. Yeah. Plus GCC. Everything we're doing is nonsense. Yeah. To unpack this, life, we will have to restart life. How we live and how we think and how we treat ourselves. And God knows I can't even, if I step into that, if I step into the functionality of that experience, I will spoil everything. And so I'm just allowing it to bring the revolution to myself, and maybe as I mature and grow, I can begin to implement. Are you with me? You see, but the point is this, that he is close to you, not as per proximity, but as per he has lived your life. And the memory of your life that he has lived is with him. He carries your memory. Jesus carries your experience with him. Your experience is stored with him. So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's read. Let us therefore, so you can now see that the strength of this statement, let us therefore come, it is hinged on the understanding of his priesthood. If you don't understand that priesthood, you can't come. Let's go back to that statement. Now, why must you understand the priesthood, and why is the understanding of the priesthood important? You see, a lot of you have not come.
Yeah.
And that's why you still lack grace and mercy. Because you have not yet approached. You don't. Listen, there is a protocol to come, or there is a way we come. He says, so therefore, let us come boldly. Now, it is very difficult to engage that throne and be bold about it.
Yeah.
You see, because your earthly experience gives you nothing to be bold about. Paul says, there is nothing good in my flesh. You look at yourself and there is absolutely nothing good. And all of us have problems coming. All of us have problems coming. We don't yet know how to go to the throne. Sometimes we go, sometimes we are unable to go because of the various darkness that we carry and the various baggages that we carry. Other times we say we are going, but what we do is that we deny the baggages and go on a peripheral level. And then we go on a very psychedelic level. And then it is a mental level. We just mentally approach. And then we don't approach in unity. In understanding that your priest is with you. In you, for you. And so we don't go with an open heart. You know, we hide. Some don't go because of what is in there. Some act like they are going as if there's nothing here. So it's the same thing. One is unable to go because he sees it. The other covers it and says he's going. But the statement started by telling us that, guys, you need to understand that the priesthood is not impressed by how you perform. That the priesthood does not look for perfection. He's the one that administers perfection. He doesn't harvest perfection. He brings perfection. Are we together here? So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but in all points as we are, but in all points tempted as we are. Now, when this revelation hits you, the revelation of the priest that sympathizes with your with your weakness. And what we mean sympathize, I'm not talking about pity. I'm talking about participation. To participate with you. He has faith. Do you know that Jesus has faith over your life? Jesus has faith. If there's anybody who believes in you, it's Jesus. He cannot but believe in you. He has complete faith in you. Now, do you know that Jesus has? Imagine if you knew that Jesus had faith in you. Listen, if you knew Jesus had faith in you, you wouldn't do life like this anymore. And you wouldn't be afraid like this. Jesus had faith in you. These are some of the things that Paul understood when he talks about how he's been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he lives. Yet not him, but Christ lives in him. And the life that lives in the flesh, he lives by the faith of the Son of God. He understands that Jesus has faith in him. There's a deposit of God's faith in Paul's heart. Accepted. Are we together here?
Yes,
God has faith in you. If he didn't have faith in you, he won't put his spirit in you.
Yeah.
The first sign of faith he has in you was to give you a deposit of the spirit. And there was a way he gave you the deposit of the spirit. Ephesians told you that he gave you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, a down payment. Put it up. Ephesians chapter 1. He has faith in you. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. How many of you are seeing these things I'm saying? Can you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
I'm asking you a question. I said, can you see what I'm saying?
Yes,
so we look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Let's start from 13. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise, who is? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Who is? The guarantee of our inheritance. Who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? Who is the Holy Spirit? The guarantee. The Holy Spirit makes it sure that our inheritance is not in doubt.
Yes.
What is faith? Evidence of things hoped for. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So the Holy Spirit is the faith of Jesus. He is the guarantee. He's the substance of things hoped for.
Hallelujah.
He is the guarantee. So, when God put the Holy Spirit in you, he had faith that you will come into fullness.
Yes.
Had faith. And sometimes you look at yourself and you don't have faith in yourself. But you must understand that the faith that God has in you, he didn't look at you to have that faith. And you say, God has faith in me. The Holy Spirit is proof. It's proof. Let me ask you a question. What does God have that is better than the Spirit? He bet with you. and he dropped his best. You see, what you drop in a bet is based on how sure you are about that bet.
Yes.
God was so sure, he dropped his spirit. He said, on my life. And guess what? From day one, God has been betting with his life. First time he did it was his son. He says, on my life, he gave his son. When he was done, on my spirit, he gave the spirit. The man has been betting. He's been betting on you. So that when you wake up with boldness. That God placed a bet on me. On his life. This faith must enter inside your soul.
Yes.
Let me link one scripture before I come back here. I pray God can give me the grace to link it. Then I will come back here and that will be good. Because that scripture is saying something. But I want to bring out a principle from it. I pray you are used to that scripture in a certain way. But I just pray you won't be swayed by what you are used to. Give me Galatians chapter 6. Let me buttress this point. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest also be tempted. What do you see here again? Priesthood. The priest knows that he can be tempted. And that knowledge educates him on how he handles a current ongoing temptation, knowing that he might be next in line. He now says that is spirituality. He says he who are spiritual. So true spirituality is hinged on your understanding of priesthood. When you can practice priesthood, then you are spiritual. And you look at the old body of priesthood I've been talking about. You must understand the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Understand the implication, how it affects your life. And then how you also must operate as a priest. That's the whole curriculum of priesthood. He says, him that is spiritual should understand priesthood. So, you are not, your tongue is not a proof of spirituality. Your access to the third heavens is not a proof of spirituality, but your ability to participate in another man's pain is the proof of true spirituality.
Yeah.
How do you participate in pain? You see, because you cannot be a prayer warrior if you are not participating in pain. The potency of Jesus' advocacy and intercession over our lives is because he has been us. That is the strength of his advocacy. It's not the superior that prays. The one that prays is who that shares pain.
Yes, sir.
So when he was even talking restoration here, he told us how to do it. That you don't restore because you are greater.
Yes.
Why are people veiled in the house of God? Because there's no priesthood lifestyle.
Yes, sir.
That's why there's a veil. You know, the Bible says that when Moses is read, that there's a veil in the heart of the people. But when we turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, one of the operations of that is the priesthood. Are you together with me?
Yes,
and that if that veil is not taken away, there can never be access of light into our lives.
Yes,
so we see here that priesthood describes spirituality more than many things. It says that he that is spiritual. Are we together here?
Yes,
can I ask you a question? So when you look at this Galatians chapter 6, you can now find out that there is a consistent alarm in the mind of the priest or a spiritual person. That thing sounds restore, 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 restore. So your brain never thinks condemn, condemn, destroy. The brain always goes restore, 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 restore. Friends, it's tough. What I'm telling you is tough to the flesh. The brain restore, 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 restore. It's every second. Restore, 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 restore. There's going to be many reasons. But it's the priesthood that makes us. You know, I started this statement by teaching you what to do with your pain.
Yes, sir.
The reason for your pain is to make you aware, to describe your priesthood to you,
yes,
that you are taken from amongst men.
Yes.
Do you know anybody you are better than? Are you better than anybody?
No.
Let me give one practical display of when the people did not understand priesthood. There was a particular woman caught in the act of adultery, right? And the people chased her to stone her. Why? Because that's what the law says. They didn't want to stone her out of anger. They were going to stone her out of righteousness that came from the law. I was about doing that, and Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to contradict the law, but I'm going to take you people to another plane. There is a darkness in your heart you don't understand. It now says that anybody who has not committed this sin, let that person be the first one. So a priest is taken from amongst men. So they forgot that. So he reminded them that you are like her. And when you are like her, you should think restore, restore, restore. So Jesus was the real priest there. And what he did was that he says, where are your accusers? They couldn't find them. And he made it necessary to say, even me, I do not accuse you. Because I'm a priest and I can feel what you... Then he released grace and said, go and sin no more. So until we see a priest active, then sin will still be dominant. The husband must be a priest over his wife. And the wife must be a priest over the husband. Are you together with me?
Yes, sir.
That's how we must relate to ourselves, because if there is no priesthood, there will be performance. And if there is performance, that's the veil. The light will not shine. All right, let me round off the thought. 4, Hebrews. I don't know what God wants to do tonight, but and you remember there's a place in the Bible that says comfort others with the same comfort where we have been comforted with. Yeah. How did you get the comfort? It was deliverance, right?
Yeah.
Comfort is the language of deliverance.
Yeah.
So the reason for that experience and why you have victory is so that you are able to give others, take people out of that negative experience, because you now have comfort. You know, comfort is a very funny language. It is like when pain is being addressed. Are you correct? Am I correct? Comfort is funny language. It's a very beautiful language. That when there is comfort, it goes to a land where pain has reigned. Are you together with me? So what God does to you is that He brings comfort to overcome the grief of pain. Are you together with me? And that should make you an experienced person in the treating of pain. It gives you experience to treat pain. Now, a lot of people don't have experience to treat pain. You need experience. And the experience to treat pain is the comfort of the Lord. Yes. Now, when you see a lot of people's actions and reactions and vagabond behaviors, sometimes there is a pain somewhere. That you need to find this pain spot. A lot of us handle symptoms. But sometimes pain controls people's actions. And then you need to go to where the pain is and have capacity to bring, you know, to provide comfort. So we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with the feelings of our sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Thank you. I'm grateful. So because of this knowledge, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. So there is a full institution called throne of grace. So you can imagine the people running away from God. There is a provision for them that is called throne of grace. That it's a whole operation called grace. And grace is the power of God. Are we together here? That so there is power to handle every infirmity, every weakness. But we can only access that power if we understand that we have a high priest who is with us on the journey. Are we together here?
Yes,
that we may obtain mercy. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
What are we going to obtain?
Mercy.
Obtain mercy. Obtain what?
Mercy.
When you understand the priesthood of Jesus, you have access to the throne of grace. And then you have access to what?
Mercy.
To mercy. Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
I want you to shout mercy.
Mercy.
One more time, can you say mercy?
Mercy.
Can you say mercy one more time?
Mercy.
And it's called the mercy of God. That's what it is. Because nobody can give mercy except God. It's the mercies of God. Nobody. And you have access to the what? To the mercy of God. Why would you have access to the mercy of God? Because you cannot deserve the things of God. You cannot be good enough for God. And so there is an institution called the mercy of God. That on your best day, you fall short. On your best day, you fall short. See, even the unbeliever, he is preserved. The mercy has been at work in your life even before you met Jesus. It was that mercy that kept protecting you and protecting you that you don't even, that your body does not even fall to the grave, so that you can even meet Jesus and get saved. Yeah, it's the mercy. Mercy. It's the mercy. It is God giving, making sure you don't get what you deserve. And making sure that what you deserve, the evil you deserve, you don't get. And making sure that the good you don't deserve, you get. It's mercy. If you are alive, you receive the mercy. You receive mercy. We are condemned to mercy. Are you together with me? We are all going to be grateful because the God we have to do with has mercy. If this God didn't have mercy, we would have all been destroyed. Are we together here?
Yes,
mercy. Mercy preserved us. Are you together with me?
Yes,
we obtain mercy. You see, so that even before grace comes, at least you are kept.
Yeah.
Are you together with me? It was mercy that kept. The Bible says we have been saved by grace through faith. But what kept you before you obtained grace? Before you received grace? It was mercy. It's mercy. It's mercy. Somebody say mercy.
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 It's mercy that kept us. Mercy that kept us. Then when you have been insulated and you have been preserved by mercy, then you will now obtain grace. That is what will bring the deliverance.
Yes.
Before your deliverance, what preserved you was mercy.
Yes, sir.
Oh my goodness. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Because some of you have battled some things for 5 years, 10 years. What kept you? What made sure you weren't destroyed? Was that mercy kept you till deliverance came? It was mercy that kept you till deliverance came. It was mercy that made other parts of your life run and other things were functioning. It was mercy that made God still bless you when you were completely undeserving, when you were deserving of destruction and judgment. It was the mercy of God. You are a strange being if you forget this. You are strange. If you treat anybody other than this, you are strange. And you don't even know how good he's been to you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It says that, and they will find grace to help in the time of need. Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
Are we together here?
Yes, sir.
It's time of day. Finally, let me make my final set of statements. That this priesthood that I am talking about, this old revelation of priesthood, actually, before it was downloaded as priesthood, what this old thing is the heart of the Father. All this I'm calling priesthood actually is the heart of the Father. Is the Father's heart. So all this priesthood I'm talking about is what? Is the Father's heart. So, and when we say Father, this is all we're talking about. This is Father. This is what makes God God. His Father. And you see, it is not just, can I talk to you?
Yes,
it's not just Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What makes God God is because he's Father. And that fatherhood of God, what makes him Father? Or what makes Father Father is what God wants to give to you. So that every one of his children can be father like him. What I'm saying is Father is not a dispense, is not a realm only for God. It's the hope of the sons. So that you can be father like him. And that was what Jesus attained. He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he has downloaded the Father's heart. There's no time. I would have started again. Because the basis of the whole kingdom, the kingdom is the kingdom of the Father. That's the foundation of the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
If he's not Father, he won't give us a kingdom. He won't introduce us. The kingdom, the base of the kingdom is the Father's heart. The Father's heart is the foundation of the kingdom. It's the Father's heart that makes it possible for us to migrate into his world. It's the Father's heart. It was the Father's heart that made him send his Son. We sinned, he paid. It's the Father's heart. The Father pays for our sin. If you sin, if you pay for your sin, I'm kind to even receive it. It's righteousness that I allowed you pay for your sin. Because you can sin and I don't even want you to pay. I just banish you. But this Father's heart, you sinned, he paid. The Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. It's the Father's heart. The Father's heart, when you see it, you are free from performance and absorbed into grace. Yeah, it's the Father's heart. You take away your, when you see the Father's heart, you take away your veil. You take away your, you take away everything. And then you remain naked and you're just like, you are just there. Receiving his love, receiving his grace, receiving the change that he's bringing to you. The Father's heart. The Father's heart. The Father is not a realm that is for him alone. It is what he wants to make all his children. He wants us to be fathers. That is where perfection is. The Father is perfect. And that's what he's working in our hearts. He wants us to be fathers. And if I was going to talk about it, that is actually the, which is another conversation for another time, that's actually the major anointing that is embedded. That's the primary anointing of the apostolic ministry. Yeah. Every true apostle who understands the apostolic ministry would engage the Father's heart. Yeah. And that's why when you read all of Paul's letters, he was written as a father. All of the letters, and every letter had a theme: restore, restore, restore. Every letter. My little children, in whom I travail again in birth pangs, until Christ be formed in you. Every letter that God allowed to be in the New Testament had the imprint of the Father's heart. That with those letters, you can have access to God. He says, teach us to pray. He said, just say, our Father. That was what he introduced to us, our Father. And sometimes, you can use pain to understand fatherhood. It helps you to relate to people as father. You see, father is not superior. That's not what father means. One of the things it means is his priesthood. One of the things it means is ability to give life. To those who are undeserving. Is to call the undeserving deserving. Is to put a crown on his sleeve. Yeah. If he was not father, he wouldn't want us to be God. It's his fatherhood that makes him invite us to Godhood. It's his fatherhood that makes him want to make us one with him. Yeah. Fatherhood. His fatherhood. If he was not father, we wouldn't even be sons. That's why we can be sons of God. Because he's father enough to make us his children. And that's exactly how he wants you to be. He wants you to be father. So next time you see an old man, or a young boy, or a baby, you see them in a place of pain, in a place of hurt, in the place that they have fallen, make sure that your father's heart speaks. Speak. And listen, whenever you operate as a father, you will see more of the ministry of the Father over your life. Yeah, he likes it. He will pour more of himself into you. He says, blessed are the merciful. And the reason is that they shall obtain mercy. So when you are merciful, he brings mercy to you. You are closer to God when you operate as a father. When you don't draw him in. Can I talk to you?
Yes, sir.
And it is this point that true healing happens. You see, the healing of identity is only the Father's anointing that can heal and restore it. Nothing else. The gift of the Spirit can never restore identity. It is until you see the Father, you can't find yourself. Yeah. It's the only one that can do that. Can I pray for you?
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray for my friends. And tonight, we'll bring every pain, every hurt, every failure. We'll bring it to you tonight. You know about it. We can't hide it from you. Bring it to you. Have mercy on us, Lord.
Amen.
And we receive grace. We receive grace to live your life.
Amen.
We receive grace to live your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
We receive grace for one another.
Amen.
Give everybody grace.
Amen.
And grant everybody mercy.
Amen.
And when we look at the world, let's not look at the world again from an eye of judgment.
Yes.
Let's think, restore.
Amen.
Let's never think that we're better.
Amen.
Make us your priests on earth.
Amen.
The Bible says that we're kings and priests unto you. Let us represent you accurately.
Amen.
Father, we know that our judgmental acts have taken people far from you. And help us to repent of that tonight.
Amen.
And help us to bring souls to the kingdom.
Amen.
And let's tell them that there is a Father. There is a Father who deals with mercy and who deals in grace. Thank you, Father. Make this house a house of restoration.
Amen.
Make it a house of healing.
Amen.
Make it a house of mercy.
Amen.
And make it a house of grace.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.